A listener production.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Broadsheet Around Town. You might not know today's guests, who are a married couple from Melbourne, but you've definitely seen their work on screen. They directed the comedy series Why Are You Like This and followed it up with global hit Heartbreak High, which is back for another season on April 11. Welcome Jesse Oldfield and Adam Murfitt.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Season 2 of Heartbreak High is in the can, and I'm very excited to discuss that with you later. But what are you up to right now?
A number of things. We split our time between making commercials, doing directing television, and we're also moving into directing film at the moment. So Adam is currently writing his own feature film script.
We've only just finished Heartbreak as well.
Yeah.
Because we did the last episode. There was a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of new characters. So we only finished on that like a month ago.
Yeah.
And then it goes into tech check and all that stuff. But yeah, I'm writing a film. I'm writing a feature film, my first feature film. I think I'm just going through all the motions that any first-time feature film writer would be going through. Good days, bad days, fear, procrastination. So yeah, it's starting to take shape. I've got a bunch of cue cards, and on each cue card I've got a scene written. Don't have any dialogue yet, but I've got like how it begins, how it ends, what are the nuances of the scene, what's interesting about it. And when I get to about 100, I'll sort of take the best of the 100 and get it to about 70 or 80 and then start writing it.
What's it about?
We could do a whole podcast on this.
Yeah. I'm about to open a big can of worms. Before I was a filmmaker, I was a professional horse rider and a jockey.
You don't look that small.
Yeah, and that's why I don't do it anymore. I've always been this tall. I was at one stage the tallest jockey in Australia. It's about that. It's about my upbringing, riding and training horses with my family. It's kind of a mixture between, think of like Whiplash with horses.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So.
I mean, Whiplash.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's
more about the dynamic, right?
Yeah. More about the storyline. I guess the dynamic between, you know, a music coach and a student. And
trying to get the best out of them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great movie, Whiplash.
Yeah, it's one of my faves.
We'll get to you in a sec, Jesse. How did you pivot to filmmaking out of that?
Yeah, right. So long story short, how I pivoted is through an injury. So I was riding a horse at the Flemington Racecourse, and the horse reared over backwards on me and completely smashed and shattered my arm. So I was unable to ride. And I went to film school and studied film from there. And I haven't ridden since, basically.
And is that where you two met?
It is actually, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, it was on a film set, a mutual friend's short film at the VCA.
After you guys got out of school, you started your own production company together, Certain Kind of Light, which was in 2012. And you were mostly making ads in the beginning.
Yeah. I think like when we met, we just had a shared interests in lots of different things, but fashion and film was something we started talking a lot about when we firstly met. And I suppose we started like making more of these art house kind of films just by pure passion. And you know, it was happening around the world in short film festivals, kind of like music videos, but for fashion brands, these quite abstract little stories about fashion brands. So we started making them together, and that was quite organic, like we're very experimental, and they started to get a bit of attention at festivals and different places around the world. And some commercial brands noticed those films. We hadn't intentionally been doing it to get commercial work, so it was quite organic. And yeah, we essentially got approached by brands to start making films for them, and our production company began. So it was all very organic, and our whole career has been quite organic since then.
You've worked with some pretty big brands as well, if you want to name check a few of those.
Yeah. Oh, we love making commercials as well as our television work. We've worked with, I don't know, Renault, Adidas, Country Road, Sports Girl, L'Oreal.
Kathmandu.
Yeah. Broadsheet at one stage, actually.
Yes.
So many, many different size brands. We're represented by a commercial production company now called Division, who help us with our, looking after us with our commercial work. And yeah, we love doing that as well as our film and TV.
Yeah, right. And then getting into narrative TV now, was that quite an organic thing as well that somehow fell in your lap, or was it something you were chasing?
A little bit. I mean, we're filmmakers, like we're both, you know, always had the big dream of directing features, and but it was quite organic the way our first, you know, foray into narrative television happened. We were approached by a few friends who are comedians, and they told us about Fresh Blood, and they had this idea that we could collaborate together on putting together a Fresh Blood idea. So Fresh Blood's an initiative by the ABC looking for young talent. And so it was kind of an interesting dynamic of these, yeah, three young comedians and Adam and I, and we came up with Why You Like This, which is a show that is a Netflix show now and came out of the Fresh Blood initiative.
We always wanted to move into long form, but it just came at a bit of an unexpected time. Like at the time,
we just got married, I think.
Right? We just got married. Yeah. It was about 2017, 2018. And we were very busy, like making commercials. Like we were, yeah, we would just go from job to job. We were flying all around doing lots of fun stuff. And yeah, Mark from Auntie Donna approached us and he said, look, I got this idea. It's called Why You Like This. It's about these like three insufferable shitheads who ruin people's lives with their modern day moral codes. And I was like, you know, looking at what the slate of work that I was currently working on, you know, it was like, you know, softly lit, naturally lit fashion work. And I was like, I don't know if I see it. I don't think I can, we've never done anything like that. And this just seems like, I don't know, it just seems like a bit too big of a jump. And he was like, look, I want to, you know, he's like, I have this idea about like your style, your sensibilities in an Aussie comedy. You know, he's like, I haven't seen that before. I've seen Aussie comedies usually just like really hard and fast. And it's just, you know, set up joke. And there's not a lot of attention put into the production design or the cinematography or the lighting or, and he was like, I just want to bring that style and that sensibility to this show. And we went away, gave it some thought, and then we're like, okay, cool. Well, let's just do it. We obviously liked the story. We liked the characters. We liked how unconventional the show was.
They're very likable despite their shitheadedness, aren't they?
Well, yeah.
We wanted that.
It's a show that like, if you get it, like if you're, I guess on that, the level of like the creators and the writers and what they're trying to do, like, you love the show.
It's a bit of a cult hit.
If you don't like characters who just, you know, because they're not always likable, like these characters, it's very in the vein of like Always Sunny, you know, where the characters don't have like great redeemable qualities. So if you enjoy that and you enjoy a show that doesn't always end with a happy ending, like a lot of the endings of Why I Like This is a bit of a bummer in a funny way. So it's a definitely a show that divides people, but we loved it.
Yeah. I mean, we made Why You Like This, we made a web series. That was how Fresh Blood started. So I think we got $5,000 and made a little online video.
Nothing. That'd be gone on the first hour of the shoot, right?
I don't think we ever...
Let's employ the cinematographer. Oh, our whole budget.
So it was exciting it's exciting now that we were a part of doing something and taking a risk on an idea, and we learn a lot through doing that. And yeah, so it ended up, we kept winning the stages and the Fresh Blood initiative that then won money to make a pilot. And then that pilot was commissioned by the ABC to become a TV show. And ABC then quietly took it to Netflix to see if they were interested in co-production. And I think the story goes that, yeah, the episode is 23 or 24 minutes long, the pilot. And I think that Netflix said yes within the hour that we got a call from the executive that had taken it over saying, yep, Netflix is in. So we're pretty excited. We were so excited to get an ABC show. And then when we found out we got a Netflix show too, we were pumped to say the least. So it was exciting. And we executive produced that as well as directed all episodes. So it was a huge way to start our work in television.
Yeah. We had some good, really good people around us giving us, like, we had some good mentors.
Absolutely.
We were talking a lot to Ted Emery, who was the director of Kath and Kim pretty much directed all of it.
Fantastic human.
It's good grounding.
Oh. It's good grounding. We just felt like we needed someone, and it was a friend of a friend, and he came along and helped us out a bit and would just like pick up the phone whenever we wanted to or respond to an email. And he just said, look, you know, you guys are going to make this show whatever it is. You got to, if it's $1 million, you got to make it look like $10 million, you know, and you're going to be working for about 50 cents an hour. And that's what you just got to, that's what you got to do on your first show. And that's what we did. Like Jesse, myself, the producer, Sarah Freeman, and all the creators and all the writers, like they just, we just went hell for leather. We worked on it. Like, I mean, it was the only thing we thought about for like 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think if you look at that show, it's like, it's just done a lot for us.
Yeah. We're very proud of it.
Yeah.
Was it a steep learning curve then?
Huge. Yeah, huge.
For so many reasons, it was a steep learning curve. It was COVID, which is always a bit boring to talk about, but it was the reality. So we not only made our first show, but we made our first show while COVID had hit. So we were the only show up and running, I think, at one point in Victoria. Mm. So that was challenging.
The speed of making is so much different to the world that we had come from. Yeah. You know, commercials are detail orientated. You know, you're doing something over 30 seconds and you've got like 2 or 3 days to do it. And it's all about the details and finiting things and creating cool shots and, you know, trying to tell a story in 2 seconds. But with television, you're doing 6 pages of script per day, which equals 6 minutes of content per day. That's an average day. Sometimes you can do more than that or sometimes less, but often more. So just adjusting to the speed was the biggest adjustment.
Absolutely.
Is it for you guys, was there a bit of a letting go process of, oh no, I don't get to do this take a 17th time. Yeah. It's like, I just have to let it be what it is.
Yeah. A lot, like just a lot, you know, sometimes you just get completely blindsided by the workload and the day and being inexperienced as well, you know, and you'd be driving home and you're like, what did we do? did we get it? I don't know. And then you get into the edit suite and you realize that some things you really nailed and some things you didn't, then you've got to really craft them with edit.
I think we learn a lot very quickly about trusting our instinct. You know, when you've got a take, you've got a take and you know you've got it and believe that and move on. That was a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it was just one take, quite often on why you like this.
Just also just adapting to the worlds, like with commercials, it's, like I said, it's very detail orientated. So your pre is very buttoned down and the agency and the brand are looking for a very specific thing, you know. With drama and comedy, it's like just being a bit more flexible, you know, just doing everything you can in your pre and getting it to a certain point, but then just being open and to, you know, the collaborators that you're working with, the actors, the production crew, being open to suggestions, you know, and being open to a bit more of a, you know, a bit more serendipity, which doesn't happen a lot in commercials. It does happen sometimes and you get those little glimpses, but in drama, there's serendipitous moments every day, every hour.
Yeah, brands don't want that serendipity. They want to know exactly what they're getting before they pay, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's just the nature of it. You know, the agencies work very hard on the concepts to get it to a point and they want that executed like that. But with drama, it's like an actor will bring something to it and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't, you know, that's the way I didn't imagine the story going that way, but I think the way you did it is better. So let's run with that.
That's exciting in itself.
Yeah, it is. It is. We very rarely walk away from a scene and not feel invigorated by it. Like, wow, I can't believe what that actor did, you know, that was cool. I never saw it that way. Or, you know, the suggestion that the cinematographer brought to it about doing it this way, or let's economize the scene. And instead of doing 3 shots, let's just do it in 1 shot, you know, and move through the crowd or something along those lines. So it's, yeah, every day there's something exciting going on. You know, you're constantly discovering new things.
In film, there's this kind of big myth of the auteur, the single genius who brings the movie to light, you know, Quentin Tarantino or Stanley Kubrick or someone like that. How does that actually work for you guys on set when there's two of you and there's two visions, and what's the dynamic there?
There is two of us, and our process relies a lot on pre-production. So we believe very strongly in the power of collaboration. We are two very different people with very different upbringings. I personally was not a jockey, and I have a very different upbringing to Adam. And I think that's what's one of the really magical things about us is how different we are. And in pre-production, we are very detail orientated. So we talk everything through, we listen, we debate, we have different ideas, and we push each other to think about things differently. And I think over the years, especially, we've become very good at trusting who has that idea that works for that moment, you know? And so a lot of that happens in our pre-production stage. And then when we're on set, we're very well prepared. A lot's already been hashed out. So we're kind of ready for the magic to happen. Cause like Adam said, a lot of it does just beautifully happen on top of that layer on set. And we do divide and conquer a bit. Like we're both capable of doing all of the elements, but it is one of the beautiful things about being a duo. Adam loves working with camera and has a lot of experience in that area. So he'll tend to hang with the cinematographer, and I have experience acting and love that side of things. So I'll tend to be with the actors. So we can very quickly move through a set and move through a scene and be giving our attention to all of the different elements, because there are so many different elements in filmmaking and we like to be across all of them. Adam and I are quite thorough in our work. Our work is our life. You know, we love what we do and we're very passionate people. So yeah, I think being able to divide and conquer is something that is really great about what we do.
The pre-production comment reminds me of that old adage about don't argue in front of your kids when you're parenting. Like you guys have your arguments in pre-production so that when you get on set, it's kind of all ready to go.
It's clear.
And it's like,
oh,
we worked that out.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're surprisingly very calm on set. We work so hard in our pre. We're often just sitting beside each other or standing beside each other. Generally, when people say, they'll very rarely say, where is Jesse or where is Adam? They'll say, where is Jesse and Adam? We'll always be together unless something changes. There's an issue on set. Then we go, okay, let's just split so we can manage it quickly and keep the workflow going and try to just get moving as quickly as possible.
Yeah, which you need to do. You know, that's a big plus, like moving through things. And there is a knowing between us. We are a married couple. We have been together for 11.
We've been married for 7 years.
7 years.
And we've been together for 14 years.
Yeah. A long time.
Yeah.
And there is a deep knowing between us, which I love. And I think people notice as well, like it's a shorthand communication that I think some people would be able to relate to, not just in married couples, but with friends and different humans. So Adam and I have always had a bit of a knowing between us. So,
but we are like, once the pre's done and we're on set, we are that single minded auteur. There's no arguing. There's no conflict on set. There's just none of it.
Like there's trust.
Yeah, there's just a you level know when, of trust. And if we do need to think on our toes, like we'll just gather, you know, together and we'll say,
huddle.
Can you just give us a minute?
Yeah,
we're just having a discussion. Da, 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 and then off we go.
Yeah.
So is there much division between home and work? I imagine not.
Our work is our life in the most beautiful way. Like seriously, like we're blessed to do what we do. We both dreamt of being filmmakers. We always wanted to do that. Adam obviously had a different career before, but it's been a big dream. So our work is our life. We do have a 2.5-year-old. We have a child. We love him and our life with him. So there is definitely off time. We used to have this rule that when we walked through the archway of our door that we wouldn't talk about work. We had that, probably at least seven years.
Long time ago. I remember.
The first 7 years of business, I think we had that.
Yeah. I remember we were driving home from work. It was very late and we were kind of going a bit mad. Like it was just, you know, it was like 10 o'clock at night and we were driving home from work and we were still talking about work and we were so exhausted. And we were like, this isn't going to work. We can't do this forever. Like you could just see it not working forever. So we said, look, when we get home, we'll walk through the door of our home. And at the time we lived in a townhouse in Carlton North and it was a very, very average, like Carlton North townhouse, but it had
dark.
Yeah, very, the shotgun that we've all lived in at one stage. And it had quite a nice door. It had like a really ornate door frame. And we said, look, we'll just walk through this and we'll just never talk about work when we're home. And it's weird. It just stuck.
Yeah,
it just kind of stuck. So now we just, if there's more work than there is hours in the day, we get to work earlier and we finish later. We just don't bring it home. You know, we're big believers in just like getting to work, getting it done. And even more so now that we have a kid, like he's 2.5. So it's very hard to manage him and manage work. So we just make sure that it's all done to a point where we're happy. We go as hard as we can. We come home, spend time with our kid, sleep easy, wake up, do it again.
Yeah. We're very present in what we do. I think that's been a big, you know, we've practiced doing that. Like it's a human, when we're with our child, we're very present. And when we're on set, we're very, very present and in all of our work. And that I think helps not only efficiency, but just the flow of our life.
I'm just a big believer in like every day there's problems. Even if you've got a day off, you've still got to manage something. The plumber's coming over. You got to get groceries. You got to do stuff. You got to work stuff out. So I just wake up and I'm like, okay, cool. Let's just go, you know, and fix problems from
as
like
they come.
As we wake up to when we go to sleep. And then we do it all again.
Was it a big step up going from Why You Like This to Heartbreak High with many more actors, longer season, I assume bigger budget, all those things?
That's a good question. Yeah. I mean, look, yeah. Why You Like This was a huge challenge. I remember the executive producer, who's a friend, wonderful mentor as well on Why You Like This. She said to us, oh, you've just done the hardest thing you've ever done. Like you made your first TV show through COVID. Nothing is ever going to be as hard as this. So I think we had a really good initiative, you know, into TV and filmmaking in that respect. So we were ready for anything. When we did Heartbreak High, we had a 6-month-old baby.
God.
So I was actually breastfeeding on set most of the time we were making Heartbreak High. So it didn't necessarily feel easier or harder, did it? It just was different. I mean, we're just so used to challenges.
It was incredibly challenging. It was the middle of summer in Sydney and it was the La Nina. So the humidity was through the roof. And Jessie had her Yeti Esky.
Yeah.
And she would bring that to set and she would have
my pumps all set up. And my iPad.
Yeah. Her pumps and her iPad. She never really stopped because we bought a pump that allowed her to move freely without any wires.
Like a remote breast pump, which I have to say has literally been the reason I have been able to continue working as a director. Because you can't just be like, okay, everyone, we're just going to stop the set right now. I'm just going to go pump for half an hour, 45 minutes, as wonderful as that would be. And maybe that will happen one day. But for us, that wasn't a reality. So I would just lean forward, put the pump in my bra while I'm sitting behind the split and pump. So I'd be walking around. I remember saying to some of the actors, if you hear any noise like the dripping of milk, that is a breast pump. Just ignore it. And I remember getting a few giggles. They're also awesome. They're dear friends now, but everyone was just like, yeah, that's just great. Keep it going.
And how long were the days on set?
Long.
Yeah, like 12, 14 hours.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a bit of pumping and just Jessie would have to, she'd have to, you know, there's all the other things that you need to do, like wash the bottles. And we're not always in places with like, you know,
running water.
Yeah, running water. So she really had to think on her toes. But
yeah, I had a lot of help.
My mind goes to that cemetery scene. There's not a lot of facilities in the cemetery.
We actually didn't shoot that scene. That was one of the other directors that shot that cemetery scene, but I know the one you mean. Look, there was quite a few scenes. There was no way to wash those bottles, but we all found a way. There was a lot of great people. There is a lot of great people that work on Heartbreak High and it is a big family affair. And everyone, yeah, was very supportive of me and helping make that happen and me come back to work like I did.
But that was the biggest challenge, I think, was being
new,
we were stepping up in level of everything, you know, the size of the production, the people involved. There was 11 leads, you know, which is like you're tracking 11 stories. So being new parents as well, like that was
huge.
Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a big life moment, something I'd thought a lot about for a long time. We talked a lot about. So I was nervous about doing that, very nervous about when the right time would be to have our baby.
There's never a right time. I say this from experience.
Oh, yeah.
There's never a right time. And I feel so kind of, I don't know, excited and powerful from living through that now to know that it's like everything in life, you just find a way. Mm. And that's what it was. We just found a way. We had, like I said, a lot of support. We had an amazing nanny that supported us and actually is a nanny that works with a lot of filmmakers, which was a wonderful thing to come across. So she has traveled the world working with directors, actors, as support for their families. So she very much knew the nature of a set. She knew that often we wouldn't know what time we're starting the next day or what time we're going to or anything like that. So it was really fantastic to have support. And I suppose what we do as directors is, like Adam said, we're always finding solutions. So having a child was a new challenge, and it just taught us that we are even more powerful, I think.
The whole thing was so empowering, though, because there's a very big difference between thinking you can do something, which we, you know, never didn't think we could do it. We always knew that we were going to do it. But to then go through that process and know you can do it, it's just, you're just so much more powerful when you know you can do it. So
kind of has taught us more than anything, hasn't it?
Yeah. Going through all of those challenges, stepping up to that caliber of show, working with that caliber of talent was incredibly empowering.
Yeah.
So season two must have been a walk in the park.
It kind of was, actually. It was so much fun for everyone. We'd all gone through a lot making, you know, we had a newborn baby or a new baby, but everyone was going through huge challenges with COVID. We were losing actors in the morning driving to set. We were finding out that leads were unable to come to set because they had COVID. So we'd be working with the writers in the car, like working out how we're going to shoot a scene. Sometimes we even turned up and we hadn't seen a location before because something had happened with the location in the night. So there was so many challenges in season one. So season two, it was exciting that everyone, you know, we were able to go in and kind of just have a chance to do it, I suppose, a bit more freely, you know.
Season two was fun.
It was fun.
And you feel that on the screen as well, like the characters feel so much more confident. It's just got such a zest to it, season two. And it's just like, there's such a clear knowing of the world and the characters know themselves. And they were just, everything was, it was really fun. I'm not going to say like a party, but it was, I don't know. It was a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah. And we got to do the end of season two of Heartbreak High. So the final episode. So that was really fun too. We can't say obviously anything about that, but we got to learn a lot. And there's a new character. There's a number of new characters in season two. And one of them is Angus Sampson, who's a fantastic actor, if anyone knows Angus. And that was great working with a lot more tension in season two. So we got to play around with lots of different things.
So one thing I thought was super cool was that Netflix renewed the show only a month after it came out for the second season. When did both of you realize or kind of intrinsically know that it was going to be a hit?
I felt on set when we were shooting it. You know, I just was like...
But a global hit?
Yeah, I did. Like I just love the way that it, you know, it would be funny. And then it would be dramatic and
that Aussie comedy.
Yeah. Just the way it held on to that Australian identity so well, but had like a global feel to it, you know, like Netflix do such a great job of doing that.
And such a good cast. Like when we're on set, you could feel that. And we had a lot of freedom as well, like creatively, us and the other directors and, you know, working with Grace Yotto, who set up the show, like we all got to really, I suppose, like play a bit with the tone and you could just feel that it was an exciting show that I think, you know, we're very proud of. And I think Australians, you know, kind of need it. And it sounds like other people were interested internationally in as well. I think it's exciting for Australia moving forward, to be honest, that a show like this has been successful.
I think it just speaks to so many generations, like for the elder millennials, that they remember watching it growing up. And yeah. They're kind of excited for the reboot. And then for the younger Gen Z kids, it speaks to them because they're in high school and, you know, the characters are more relatable to them. So I can kind of see why it's done so well. When does season 3 start filming?
We're not sure yet. We will see. Once season 2 comes out, there will be bigger conversations about that.
Yeah, right. It's crazy as well how much attention the actors have got from it. Like, I've seen Chloe Hayden and James Majews and all those people on so many red carpets. Have you guys had a bit of reflection from that yourselves, and how have you been dealing with it?
Nah, we're behind the camera. No one cares about us. they're all so, you know, they've been all flying high, which is so exciting to see. But for us, we kind of like the way we live. We're always out and about doing lots of wonderful things, but not on that same level. It hasn't hit us in that same way. Everyone wants to see them. They're pretty fun.
Until Adam's jockey movie comes out.
Exactly. Because everyone wants to see how tall he really is.
Yeah. Whiplash too.
But yeah, in different ways there's been attention, but not as much like of the red carpet stuff. You know, we've had lots of great offers for work and we're...
Podcasts.
Podcasts, exactly. We're about to go to the UK because we've got some people interested in meetings with us there, and we're reading lots of amazing scripts at the moment. So there's been attention in all the right ways for us. Like, we're, you know, only onto more things. Like, we love doing what we do. So for us, everything we're doing is leading us to where we're hopefully, you know, just keep on keeping on.
Great. Excited to see where you go. Thank you so much for coming on today. It's been such a pleasure talking to both of you.
Our pleasure.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having us.
That's it for today. If you're enjoying the podcast, tell your friends and family, leave us a review, and keep listening. Subscribe or follow us wherever you're listening now to make sure that you don't miss an episode.